feels a bit surreal. 19 months ago, when I announced to the congregation that I would be retiring, seemed like a long way away. It's caught up pretty quickly. I can still remember the day that that Mandy and I were looking over the profile for this church. We were living in northern Alberta. I'd been serving in a parish for 4 years there, and we had got a sense that it was time to be looking for something else, that God had something else for us. I can remember reading the profile for this church and it jumping out at me when I read it. There were so many things about it that caught my attention. After reading the profile, and after Mandy reading it along with me, we kind of just looked at each other and agreed that I just had to apply. At the time, Holy Trinity was meeting in a storefront, in a strip mall, and it was right next to a liquor store. And that in itself caught my attention. I thought, what better place to be than where people go? So why not have the church right there? There were other things that were on the profile that caught my attention. We had two young children at the time, and the profile talked about half the congregation being under the age of 12. And that spoke to us. So we thought it was a no-brainer. I just had to apply for the position. And it didn't take long before I was invited to come to Calgary for an interview. But after returning back up to Bonnyville, I didn't hear anything for a while. We didn't know what God was saying to us. So I decided to set God a deadline. If I don't get a phone call or something in the mail by mail delivery time on Tuesday, well, God, we'll know that you've got something else for us and that this isn't the place. Now, let me just tell you, I don't recommend you setting deadlines with God. I don't believe that God needs to work on my timeline. But despite me knowing that, I still set the deadline anyway. And I was absolutely sure that by mail delivery time on Tuesday, we would know what the response was. That by that date, we would know exactly what our future was going to hold, at least what direction we were going to be going. And then Tuesday's mail delivery came and went, and there was nothing from Holy Trinity. I can remember walking back to the house after going to collect the mail and being so completely confused because I was so convinced that there'd be something in the mail. And then came a phone call that afternoon from the Canadian director of the South American Missionary Society, saying, "Stephen, I'm wondering whether you and Mandy are being called to go to live in Honduras as missionaries." We didn't know what to say. We were pretty confused, but we thought, well, maybe one door is closing and another door is opening. And then a couple days later, I received a phone call from one of the wardens of Holy Trinity saying, "Stephen, we'd like you to come and be our pastor." And again, we just didn't know what to say because there was these two possibilities and we didn't know what God was saying in them. I remember going for a walk with my bishop at the time in Edmonton, and him turning to me, I laid out the two options, and he said to me, "Stephen, I think you're going to regret it if you guys don't go down to Honduras. So I think that's what you should choose." I phoned up my best friend who was a pastor in Ontario and laid out the options to him. And he said, Stephen, I think you're going to regret it if you don't go to Holy Trinity. I think that's what you should choose. So we didn't know what God was saying. So Mandy and I talked it over. We prayed about it. And what we started to get a sense of what God was saying to us was, the choice, it's yours. Just take a step. Lean on me in that step. And I will be with you. And so, nearly 29 years ago, we took a step. And absolutely, without a doubt, God has been with us. And let me just say, there have been no regrets. No regrets at all. Serving in this congregation has been for me an honor and a privilege. Together, God has been working on us together as we've journeyed along on a road. And for that, I'm truly, truly thankful. I wondered what I was going to be saying to you today. Wondered what I should leave with you. And then about 10 days ago, while I was still in bed, and I don't know whether I was half awake or whether I was still asleep and dreaming, but three words came to me in relation to the readings that I knew we were going to be having today. And I believe that these three words are for you. I actually believe these three words are for us as we prepare to take our next steps. You and I, for the first time in 29 years, not going in the same direction. The three words are these: attentive, courageous, and dependent. Let's look at that first one, attentive. I believe that we are being called to be attentive. To be attentive to God and attentive to the people around us. In our first reading today, God was speaking to Joshua as the torch had just been, it kind of been passed to Joshua from Moses. Now, in case there's people here or people online who don't really know the story, let me just give a little bit of the backstory to you. The people of Israel, they had been captive slaves in Egypt for a number of years. And they had cried out to God for deliverance. And God sent Moses to them to lead them out of Egypt to go to the promised land. It was quite a journey. Not a mere 29 years. It was as many as 40 years. 40 years to get where they were going. 40 years journeying on their way. Finally, they reached the Jordan River. And the promised land is on the other side. But Moses isn't going with them. Instead, Joshua is going to be the one who's going to lead. At the end of the book of Deuteronomy, Moses dies. But just before he does, in essence, he kind of passes the torch on to Joshua, the new leader of the people of Israel. And in the passage today, God had some words for Joshua. Words for him prior to the people's entry into the promised land. Listen to some of the things that he said. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. And then in verse 7, be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. In those words, be careful to obey the law, I believe God is saying, be attentive to me. Be on the lookout. Be aware how I am calling you to live. How I'm calling you to take the next step forward. As Joshua took over the leadership of the people of Israel, if he wasn't attentive to God, if he wasn't on the lookout to the way that God was calling him to go, very likely he would have gone down some wrong paths. Very likely he could have lost his way. You know, I can very vividly remember a time when I wasn't very attentive to God. I believe God was trying to get my attention for quite a while, and yet I was seemingly oblivious. It was back in my later teen years. For a few years, people had been saying to me that they thought I should become a pastor. Now, many of you know that my dad was a pastor. And when I heard them, the people say that to me, what I heard them saying was, we think you should be just like your dad. And I didn't want to be a pastor just because my dad was a pastor. So I went off to university not knowing exactly what I was going to do after my degree. And then God got my attention through the words of a blind man. A blind man who really didn't know my dad. This man, who I'd gotten to know a bit, we were at a communion service together. And it came time for the exchange of the peace. And he came up to me and he put his arms around me and embraced me. And he just put his mouth to my ear and just said something along the lines of, there's a picture of you in my mind, and you're working in the church. This man had become blind long before he met me. He didn't know what I looked like. And yet somehow there was some kind of picture of me in this man's mind. And as he shared that vision with me, that very instant, I knew that God was calling me. Not because of my dad, but God was calling me. And you know, when I told people afterwards what I had experienced and what I believed God was saying to me, many of them said, of course that's what you're supposed to do. What took you so long to discover it? Well, what took me so long was I wasn't being very attentive. If we want to know the direction we're to go, then we need to be attentive. If we want to know what God is saying to us, then we've got to be attentive to God. Open to God speaking to us. Open to God leading us. Open to God pointing us in the right direction. But it isn't just about being attentive to God. It's also about being attentive to the people around us. Not being so consumed by the things that we're doing that we fail to see the needs that are around us in others. You and I are not just called to a seemingly vertical relationship between God and us. Me and God. Our relationship spreads out to all people. We're to share God's love and God's generosity to everyone around us. We're called to be attentive to the stranger, attentive to those on the margins of society. We're called to reflect Jesus in the very lives that we live. And in order to do that, we need to keep our eyes open. We need to notice other people. When you're in this place, you need to notice other people who might be new, so you can reach out to them. When you're not in this place, you need to be keeping your eyes open so you notice those who might need some support, just a smile even. If we want to be heading in the right direction, we've got to be attentive to God. And if we truly are being attentive to God, then I think it automatically follows that we will be attentive to the people around us, recognizing their gifts and their needs. Attentive to who God is calling them to be. Attentive to how God is calling all of us to become the people that God created us to be. We need to be attentive. What else are we called to be? Well, I believe that we are being called to be courageous. We actually heard that word spoken directly to Joshua in our reading today. And it wasn't just spoken once. God spoke that word twice to him. Do you remember the words? Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey the law of my servant Moses that he gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. And you know, even that wasn't the first time Joshua had heard that word, be courageous. Twice before his death, Moses gave that same word to Joshua. And you know what, as I think about that, the sense that gives me is that perhaps for Joshua, things were a little touch and go for him. You see, it was going to be a big step for Joshua, being called to lead the people to this new land that God had for them. I can imagine Joshua feeling rather daunted by it. And so God said to him, be strong and courageous. Courageous in taking that next step towards that which you are being called. You know, I think we even see a more vivid example of courage in our second reading that we heard read this morning. In that passage from Matthew's Jesus story, we heard about Jesus' disciples being out on a lake. At the time, Jesus was on the shore, the disciples were out in the lake, and later in the night, the boat out in the middle of the lake was being buffeted by the wind and the waves. And while they were on the boat, Jesus came walking on the water to them. Now, Matthew told us that the disciples, that they were terrified. I don't blame them. I mean, not very often you see somebody walking on the water towards the boat you're in. But Jesus said to them, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. And I want you to notice what Simon then said to Jesus. Lord, if it's you, Simon replied, tell me to come to you on the water. And then these words back from Jesus to Simon. Come. You know, after hearing Jesus say come, I can just imagine Simon taking a bit of a gulp and thinking, oh my goodness, this is one of those times when I speak before I thought. I don't want to do that. What did I just say? No, I take it back, Lord. And yet, he didn't do that. didn't say, I take it back, Jesus. He didn't say to his brother Andrew, who was right next to him in the boat, Andy, would you mind doing that for me? No, the passage told us that Simon got down out of the boat and walked on the water and came towards Jesus. That step took a lot of courage. And many steps to which God calls us equally call for our courage. Back in September, I was wondering whether God was saying to me, it's time to step away from Holy Trinity. At that time, I'd been pastor for 28 years, almost half my life. And being pastor had felt so right for so long. I'd come to love this place. Come to love the people. To love the kids. To love the ministry that we were doing together. And when I started to wonder whether it was time for me to step away, there was a part of me that thought, before I say anything to anybody, I should have something else all planned out and lined up for afterwards. Not necessarily another job, but to know exactly what I was going to be doing in retirement. And then came the sermon at the end of September that I entitled, Letting Go of the Safety Nets. And I got to tell you, when I was preparing that sermon, God was speaking to me. I have no idea whether God spoke to you in that sermon on that Sunday, but God certainly was speaking to me. God was saying, you're comfortable. You're not having to lean on me as much as you've had to in the past. It's been a while, Stephen, since you've taken a step of faith. And there was a sense then, or more of a confirmation, because I'd been wondering it for a while. There was a sense of confirmation that God was saying that it is now time to take a step in a different direction without anything all planned out beforehand. I was being called to be courageous. As disciples, we are always called to be courageous. To be willing to take that next step, even when we don't know where that next step is going to take us. Now, that doesn't mean we're never going to stumble or fall. I mean, think about it. Simon didn't stay walking on the water, did he? He started to sink after a while. And soon he was in almost over his head. But I don't think that really mattered. Because for a while, he did walk on water. And while Jesus may have then said to him once he started to sink, oh, you of little faith, I believe Jesus was probably still pretty pleased with him. For Simon's courage and for taking that step in the first place. As this church prepares for a time of transition, as I prepare for whatever it is God has next for me, I believe God is saying, be courageous. Be willing to take that next step. Don't always hold on to the safe and the comfortable. Take the next step. Be attentive to my call and be courageous. One more word that I want to share with you, and that is the word dependent. I believe that we are being called to be dependent and dependable. In our first reading today, I believe that's what God was saying to Joshua. Remember God's words in verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Why was God saying that? What was the reason that he was to be strong and courageous? Why should he not be afraid? Well, God told him why. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. That promise in itself can give us so much more courage, can't it? The promise that God will be with us. God will be going before us. God will be walking alongside of us, holding our hands when we need it. And that in itself, knowing that in itself, can make us so much more courageous. But the key thing is, we've got to hold on to God's hand. It's not in ourselves that our hope rests. It's not on, not by counting on ourselves that we're going to ensure that we're going to reach our promised land. But as we depend on God, so will our steps be guided. As we depend on God, so will we discover God's ways. I believe we see that in our second reading today as well. Yes, Simon took a step of faith. Yes, he did step out of the boat, but it didn't take long before he started to sink. And what did Simon do when that started to happen? Well, verse 30 told us. When he saw the wind and the waves, he was afraid and he began to sink and he cried out, "Lord, save me. Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You know, prior to his discipleship, prior to becoming a disciple of Jesus, I can imagine that Simon probably saw himself as being pretty capable, pretty self-assured, pretty self-sufficient in the things that he was doing, able to handle the twists and turns of life as they came his way. And yet Jesus opened up a whole new world to him. And I can just imagine Simon discovering a life that he never knew was even possible. Discovering more about the person that God had created him to be. And the call to become that person. I can imagine for Simon, it all felt pretty daunting. But Jesus wasn't saying, "Simon, it's all up to you." But rather, "Take my hand, because I've got this." As Jesus was saying that to Simon, I believe that's what God was saying to Joshua as well. "Joshua, I've got this. I will be with you." Both Simon and Joshua were learning more about what it means to be dependent on God. And as we follow on from Simon's story from there, as we follow along in the scriptures and look at the shaping of Simon by God, we see that not only was he dependent, but he became somebody who was dependable. Later, he became the person Jesus had once said he would be. He became Peter, Petros, Greek word for rock. One on whom the church would be built. One on whom would be solid and steadfast. One on whom others could depend. We are called to be dependent on God. We are called to be dependable to one another. Never is discipleship about us going our own ways. Never is discipleship about us saying, "I don't need the rest of you." Or saying, "You are on your own." No, as Peter was called into community, as Joshua was called to lead a community, we are called into community and we are called to be there for one another. And it's not about being dependable when we feel like it. It's not about being dependable when we feel as though we've got a bit of spare time. We are called to be dependable. We are called to be there for one another in good times and in tough times to help one another along the way. For nearly 29 years, the people of Holy Trinity and I, we have been there for one another. And although our paths are about to diverge, there's still a sense in me that we'll be there for one another, because I know I can count on you for your prayers for Mandy and me. And I hope you know that you can count on our prayers as you journey as a congregation and seek out your new pastor. But this isn't just about you and me. This is about you being there for one another, taking your call to community seriously, supporting one another, walking alongside one another, being there for one another as this church continues to take one more step, and as you seek to reach out to one more person, as this church seeks out to be all what Jesus calls it to be. Friends, once again, I want to tell you how truly it has been an honor and a privilege to walk with you over these years, to serve you as your pastor. Know that Mandy and I, we love you. This place, the people, you've become imprinted on our hearts. And we are truly, truly thankful that God brought us here. We're thankful that God laid out those choices for us and said, "You choose." And we're thankful that this was the choice we made. It is my prayer that in the days ahead, that those days will be days of blessing. That you will come together as a community to serve God in this world, reflecting God's love and generosity to all the people you meet. May you be attentive to God and to the stranger. May you be courageous in the steps of faith you take as God calls you to take those steps. And may you be dependent and dependable, holding tightly with all your might to the hand of God, and reaching out to all the people that God places on your path. Amen.